I'm just following the Lord as best I can. I'm asking Him for Him to use me and to make a difference in my life, and so I can follow Him. And I want to give you exactly what the Lord's given me, and like to be able to have a fancy title. But I'll be honest with you, as I sat and thought about this scripture over and over again, I heard an old preacher say this, I'll say it again, that sometimes you got to have a title to catch their attention. And so if I had to have a title or anything like that, I want to say this: Remember the Alamo. If I had to give it a title, I'd say Remember the Alamo. You might say, preacher, that's a strange title. It's about as strange as me saying it just now. But we live in a day and time where we allow so many things to dictate what we do. And I want to say some things that this Lord gave me this message, and I never was a big historian on the history of the Alamo, but I began to dig and do some research and digging on some things in this scripture. And you can do whatever you want, but I invite you to keep Psalm 118 open. And I might read in other places if the Lord allows me to, if the Lord wants me to, but if not, we'll stay in 118, and we'll try our very level best to give you exactly. The Lord wants us to give. We're going to read two verses, and I invite you, if you're able to stand with us as we read God's Word. If you ain't able to stand, I understand. We got folks with bad backs and things, that situation. But I want to read just two verses. We're going to read verses number 8 and verses number 9 and Psalm 118. Familiar scripture, hopefully, to all of us. But the scripture says this: It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, come to you one more time. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it means, Lord Father. We're glad that your word is settled in heaven. No man can add to it. No man can take from it, Lord. Though they may burn it, and though they may try to do away with it, or though they may try to water it down with other ways and other things and means, Lord Father, it's still yet it's settled in heaven. And Father, I pray today for this word to be not only just a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path, but Lord Father, that it may shine in the depths of our hearts. God, I pray today what we need, Lord Father, is to be molded and shaped and to be in the image of your dear Son. I'm reminded, Lord Father, as we often quote Philippians 1:6, where it says that ye have begun a good work and thus shall perform it until the day of Christ, Lord Father. But I'll say this, Lord, we need some molding and shaping today. Maybe in our heart, Lord God, in our demeanor, Lord, I pray. Oftentimes, Lord God, I get these messages that you give. And Lord Father, at some things that's transpired this past week, Lord Father, has opened up my eyes to some things, and I'm glad you are who you say you are. But Lord, may we say this in this prayer, Lord, that every heart would be open and receptive to hear your message, that we'd have an ear to hear exactly what you are saying through and by your Spirit, through and by your Word, and Lord, yes, and through and by your man. Lord, I pray, Lord, I'd not be Jason Faulkner today. I pray I'll be your man. And God, I've been praying this, Lord Father, here last little bit. I'm very impressionable. A lot of men, Lord Father, leave an impression upon me, Lord Father. I don't want to be Jason Faulkner. I don't want to be no other man. I want to be your preacher, Lord Father. So if you would, preach through me one more time. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. As we said as on the onset, familiar scripture, hopefully to most people, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We've often said that last part can be a negative or can be a positive. You should still be able to have some confidence in some men. I've often said I hope and pray you have confidence in me. I hope and pray you have confidence in one another. But it's better to trust in the Lord than it is to put your confidence in man. I'm reminded that through and by the scriptures and through and by these words here in Psalm 118, we find what trust in the Lord and have confidence in that in man. May I say this, that man is flawed and God is not. I've often thought about this in the scripture, and I've often looked at these. Man is flawed, but God is perfect. Man changes, but God doesn't. Malachi 3, he said, I'm God and I'm the Lord and I change not. Man can be unfaithful, but God is always faithful. Man is weak, but God is always strong. I love that song, the God on the mountain is also the God in the valley. And oftentimes we get down in the valley and oftentimes things happen. I was sharing a little testimony. Y'all pray for me. I was feel pretty good already, Brother Josh. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was sharing a little testimony with Brother Josh. And I've often told you about the story about the lawnmower. I got all mad at the lawnmower, threw everything at the lawnmower, got mad, I was going to set the lawnmower on fire. A couple weeks ago, I was going to do the same thing with a washing machine and a hot water heater. Got so mad, got mad at God. The hot water heater was leaking, the washing machine went out. I ain't going to lie to you. I got kind of mad. I looked up at the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, you having me go through all these things?" And I was mad as a mad could be. Got together with some men and everything. Went over in West Alexandria. Prayed my very level best sister Donna to be the right man and to be in that position that you asked me to be. I want to say once again, I was honored that y'all asked me to be there. He's driving back home, and Brother Eddie just said a simple word. He said, "What you might need to do is just pack the tighten up on that knob right there. Your mirror leak might go away." I go home and turn that wrench, a quarter of a turn, and the leak stopped. Then I felt about this stinking big. I'm sitting there mad, crying, pitching a fit, thinking God done left me, and I was off by myself. Because I'm sitting there going, "Lord, I got a brand new washing machine. The last one quit. The kids are all gone, ain't got no help. And the water's leaking everywhere." And he's like, "You big crybaby, shut your mouth and turn the wrench." But can I say this? Oftentimes we get in the valley where we think we're in a valley, and we forget that God does not neglect us. God does not leave us alone. God does not leave us stranded in our own devices. I'm glad that God is always there. Y'all hearing the preacher? I'm glad to know that no matter what happens in our life, if God be for us, who could be against us? And I'm getting out of whack on my outline. Brother James, I got my outline, got her all done. I don't know if I'm going to be able to follow it or not. But I will say this, if God be for us, then who could be against us? But I want to preach this morning and this afternoon, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. I want to show you all, if you still got your Bibles open, Psalm 118, verse number 1, and the last verse of this psalm says the same thing. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." The Bible says in the last verse of this chapter, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." But everything that happens in between the first and the 29th verse, it says some miraculous things that took place. I notice this in the first verse, he preaches, or he speaks unto all about giving thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to say it's a proclamation in this first four verses. It's a proclamation, and not only is it a proclamation, it's a publication and it's an emancipation. And some folks might say, "Preacher, you're getting real highly educated on us." I want to be an educated preacher, Brother James. I want to study to show myself approved. But it's a proclamation. It's made known to all in verse number 1 that God is still God and his mercy endureth forever. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've come up against, no matter what's happened in your life, God's mercy is from everlasting unto everlasting. I know there's a crowd out there that says if you sin, if you come short, if you've made mistakes, that you're no good and you ought to be tossed to the side. I'm glad God is not that way. I'm glad God likes dealing with broken things and messed up things and jacked up things. I mean, that was my life, and sometimes my life gets back in that condition, but I'm glad God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. We quoted Lamentations chapter 3. I'm glad it's fresh every single morning. I'm glad there's mercy sitting right there, compassion sitting right there. Whether if I'm good or whether if I'm bad, whether if I'm faithful or unfaithful, God is still God. I like what it said in Hebrews. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad God is not only proclaiming unto us, but he's proclaiming unto the world that his mercy endureth forever. He says in verse number 2, "Let now Israel say that his mercy endureth forever." He's trying to make this proclamation and publication and emancipation unto the children of Israel, to God's people. He's reminding them that he's still God. There's nothing different about him. That in the high times and in the sad times and the bad times and the good times, he is still God. He's the God that delivered him from the hand of the Egyptians and by the pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night. He's still the same God that opened up the Red Sea and they crossed over on dry ground. He's still the same God that gave manna to come down from heaven. He's the same God that opened up the River Jordan. He's the same God that healed all diseases. He's the same God that does the mighty works. And can I say, maybe you might be here today and discouraged, but I want to let you know, church, God is still God. Though your situation may have changed, he has not changed. Though your position may have changed, his position still ain't changed. He's still high and lifted up, holy, perfect, and oh, bless God, he's not changed, not one bit. Notice in verse number 3, he said, "Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever." He's speaking unto his men. Can I say this? God help a preacher who does not preach mercy and does not preach forgiveness. God help the man, not just the preacher, but the men of God, the women of God, who don't expound mercy and forgiveness. Can I say this? If God dealt with us after our transgressions, if he had dealt with us after our sins, we'd be people most miserable, probably wouldn't even be existing today. But I'm glad he does not do that. Somebody say amen. His anger will not always chide, but he'll always be plenteous in mercy. And he says in verse number 4, "Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever." Can I say this? A person under conviction, the lost and dying world needs to have fear and that of God. And I'm not trying to knock on anybody, but sometimes things just get in my craw. I'm not trying to knock people on the music that they listen to, but you really got to watch what you're listening to. I know some folks don't like it when I pick on certain songs, but I heard another song that says, fear is a liar. And I'm not knocking on the song, Brother James. I know exactly what the song means, but can I say something? We're living in a generation where they have no fear for nothing. And can I say, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Can I say this? We need to have a fear about ourselves, of reverencing fear and that of God. And a person who's lost and dying and does not know that they're lost and dying, the first thing they need to know, Brother Miller, is that there's a God in heaven who hates sin but loves them. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But Jesus also said, if you die in your sins where I am, ye cannot come. Oh, the world needs to know that God hates sin, and the cross was because of sin, but the Savior who hung upon the cross was because of his love, and that his mercy endures forever. Oftentimes we got lost people who have no way to look up and don't know where the mercy is. And may I say this before I go any further? In the New Testament era, in the New Testament, New Church age that we're living in today, I want to say this. God always goes through his men and his women. He will always go through the person of the church. And can I say this? The church needs to have a sign on their forehead and on their chest saying, love, mercy, love, mercy, love, mercy. Y'all hearing the preacher? Oftentimes we want to get in that critical spirit and judge people. And can I say this? We ought not to be critical and judge things and judge people where we're not supposed to be judging. The Bible says the word of God is our judge. But we're supposed to show love and mercy. Y'all still with the preacher? Bible says this, notice this, it says in Romans, as we said, as if God be for us, then who shall be against us? What can we say to these things? Verse number 5, it says, I called upon the Lord and he answered me. Verse number 6 says, the Lord is on my side. And the Bible, verse number 7 says, the Lord taketh my part. I mean, what things could make you be more excited than that, that the Lord heard your prayer and answered you? I mean, thank God the privilege, the God of heaven that made the very universe, hung the stars, hung the moon. The Bible says that the psalmist prayed, heard his cry, and he answered. David said in Psalm chapter number 40, he said, I cried unto the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me. Pulled me out of that horrible pit and out of that miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I mean, don't get too excited now. We're just preaching about God answering your prayers. I mean, don't get excited knowing that God has been there in the past and been there right now, and he'll be there in the future to answer your prayers. I know we get weak-minded, and I know we put our faith in other things, and we'll say, I don't know if God's going to answer or not. I think this just might be the end of me. I think it might be time for me to step aside. And all I would have to say is you go right ahead and do that. But if God's not telling you to do it, friend, you're making the worst mistake you ever had in your life. You ought to stop doing your own thinking and pray unto God, and he'll answer you. I mean, he takes time to answer us. I mean, no matter what's going on, we might be busy in our day. We may forget God, but God don't forget us. He will always answer our prayers. I know some people say, preacher, well, I don't like sometimes what the answer may be, and that might be true. But can I say, ain't it good to know that not only God hears our prayers, but God answers our prayers? Oftentimes people don't realize that the first thing we ought to do is pray and let God answer. Sometimes we make it the last choice, when it should be our first resort. Somebody, preacher, you got it backwards. No, it's not the first choice, but the last resort. We should say the first resort is, I'm going straight to God with the whole entire matter. Why? Because he answers prayer. Notice in verse number 6, it says, the Lord is on my side. Hallelujah. Who here loves that song, I am on the winning side? I mean, I love that song. Makes me want to get up full of spit and vigor, run outside and find a devil somewhere and punch him square in the mouth. Why? Because I'm on the winning side. Preacher, did you get picked to be put on the winning side? I don't know if he picked me for any other reason than I was poor and needy, but he put me on the winning side. I'm glad to know this, that the Lord is on my side. We've often said the fight's fixed, that it's all rigged, we win. But can I remind everybody that everything that we go through, the Lord is still on our side. Whether it profits us in our flesh, whether it prospers us in our stature in society, whether or not it makes us something more than what we are, friend, can I say the Lord is still on our side. Though it may not come out and work out the way that we want it to, still yet the Lord is on our side. He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Can I say this? Oftentimes, that's one of the parts about the message that God had said to me, focused on, and I'll come back to in a bit. It says that putting confidence in man. Oftentimes we think confidence in man is a good thing. But sometimes, Brother Eddie, we put confidence in man and it's a bad thing. We think man's got more power and more control and got more influence more than God does. Can I say this? You all didn't call me to preach. God called me to preach. You don't tell me where to preach. God tells me where to preach. Had plenty of people tell me where to preach at, Brother Ray. They told me I couldn't preach here and I couldn't preach here because they don't believe like I do. I've had many people tell me, said, preacher, I ought not to preach that way and preach this way. All I have to say is God called me to preach. I told some of these other preachers been called to preach here. I did not call you to preach. The Lord called you to preach. I'm here to make liberty and have a good platform and you can get in this pulpit and preach. I'm also here to keep make sure you don't get jackleg and get sideways. But can I say this? The Lord is the one who called you. He can keep you from getting jacklegged and sideways. He's the one that can keep you in the confines of the book. And he's the one that can preach you. Y'all hearing this, preacher? You preachers ought to be amening me left and right. I think I'm preaching a whole lot better than they're amening, Brother Josh. But I will say this, the Lord is always on your side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Jesus said, fear not man who can kill the body but not the soul, but fear God who can kill both body and soul and cast them both into hell. Oftentimes we give man too much credence, we give man too much power, and all he is just a man. All he is just a man. May I remind everybody that through and by the prayer that God hears our prayer in verse number 5, we can turn the thoughts and the hearts of men through and by the power of the Lord by us coming to him in prayer. Oftentimes people may not realize this, that somebody might do something, mean something evil to happen to your life, but God will turn it around and mean it for your good. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Go back in the book of Genesis and we'll find little old Joseph who his brothers salted him to hang him out to dry and kill him. One of them wanted to kill him. I mean, they really was preacher, brother wouldn't want to kill brother. That one brother wanted to kill him. And Reuben said, no, you ain't going to kill him. And they lied about him. They hid it all and it had been hid. Nobody knew anything about it. Next thing you know, God has a way of bringing things back around. Y'all hearing the preacher? Hey, when those brothers finally found out that Joseph, not only was he alive, but he was ruling over Egypt and all the world, if you'll have it. They thought for sure that Joseph was going to react vengeance upon them. But I think that Joseph having that spirit and being like a type and a figure of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. What's that fancy word he had in Vacation Bible School? What's that fancy word? Christophany. I mean, I like big words. I mean, I feel like I'm smart. But that Christophany of Jesus in the Old Testament, Joseph is a type and a figure of that Christophany. And he could act vengeance upon them. He had every right to do so. His brother sold him out to dry. They wanted to kill him and everything. But no, the love of Christ and mercy come through him. He said, you meant it for me for evil, but God meant it for me for good, that I might save many people alive. Woo! Bless his holy and righteous name. Man mean it for evil towards you, but God will flip it around for your good. If God be for you, who could be against you? Verse number 7, the Lord taketh my part. Thank God he's there to be my helper. I want to read this real quick. I asked the Lord, I'll read every scripture you want me to read. I want to read this. This is what David said before I go any further. This is what David said in Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, when they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us, when the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Hallelujah. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. David almost said, I'm glad. He said, it almost happened, but the Lord was on my side. And then the next said in verse number 7, he says, the Lord taketh my part. That means all the help that you can get from your brothers and sisters, the Lord takes a part in helping you. He takes up with your side. He takes up with your need. He'll help you. Oftentimes people will say, preacher, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. Just know this, that God's not left you. He's still there with you. No matter if you're perfect or not, no matter if you're sinless or not, God is still there. Man tries to tell you God's gone, but man don't have the authority to do that. They may say it, but they ain't got no power to prove it. Because I know the Lord is always there. He's there to take up your part. He's there to lift you up. He's there to be your help. The Bible says, the word I like to hear is succor thee. It's almost like he gets up right underneath your armpit and right around your shoulder and wraps an arm around your neck. And Sister Donnie, he picks you up and lifts you up. And when your feet won't move, he'll carry you. I'll never forget that song, or One Set of Footprints in the Sand. I know it was a poem. I know it was when I was a little kid growing up, I remember all those things going. When I seen that one picture, they had that pronounced, when there was only one set of footprints. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They said, I thought when the Lord had left them. They said, no, that wasn't me leaving you. That was me carrying you. So, have you all ever been that way before? He will always be there to take up your part. He will always be there to take up your part. Now, I'm just getting through the introduction. Don't think I forgot about Remember the Alamo. Don't think I forgot about Remember the Alamo. But I want to remind you, it's better to trust in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord. Stop putting your confidence in man. First, put your trust in that in the Lord. Bible says in verse number 11, they compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about. Verse 12, they compassed me about. But the Bible says in verse number 13, but the Lord helped me. Bible says in verse number 11, but the name of the Lord, I will by the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. That's him getting victory over them just by the name of the Lord. David didn't beat Goliath by his power and by his might and by his technique and by his talent. He told Goliath, said, you come at me with steer and spade. He said, I come at you in the name of the God of Israel. Woo! And that little old sling, that little old stone flattened a great big old man. And David had the power to run upon him and cut that man's head off with his own sword. Verse number 12 said, they can pass me like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. David's being reminded by the Lord, he will always have the victory over the enemy. And verse number 14, the psalmist says, the Lord is my strength and song has become my salvation. You know the one thing that will help us from not losing the trust or putting our trust in other things? Don't forget to worship him. I want to say this. In the last couple of Sundays, it's been real quiet in the singing. Now, I ain't saying you got to hoop and holler and shout, act call crazy and things like that. But can I say something? This is where it's supposed to be the best all week long. Right? And it's the start of the week. It's not the end of the week. You don't give God what's left over after Friday and Saturday. Anybody hearing the preacher? Don't wear yourself out on Friday night and Saturday night and come in on Sunday morning saying, I just can't worship God. I just can't sing. I'm so wore out doing things all weekend. I know somebody's getting mad right now. But can I say it's still the truth? Oftentimes we wear ourselves out on Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday. Y'all help me. I'm chasing a rabbit, but it's a good juicy rabbit, Brother James. And we're going to get it real good in the hole. But I want to say this. Oftentimes we'll wear ourselves out doing the things that's in the world. And I ain't saying you can't do things. I mean, Friday night, they had me out to wee hours of the night watching movies. Good movies. Somebody say amen on good movies. Wasn't watching no nasty movies. It was a good movie. I mean, I like comic book movies. We all doing good. And I got up and got to go to work. But can I say this? I'm not wearing myself out in the world, rusting out in the world. And worship the Lord in spirit and truth. It gives me the strength to move on through Monday and Tuesday and through the rest of the week. Why? Because the worship of the Lord is not determined upon how what kind of mood I'm in or how things are going good in my life. I worship the Lord because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have life. I don't worship him because I'm worthy. I worship him because he's worthy. I may not sing the best. You may not sing the best. We may not pray the best. We may not do nothing the best. But man, if our hearts centered upon the Lord, we should worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him in the bad times. Worship him in the good times. I'm reminded oftentimes God moves not only by prayer, but also because of our worship. He said, I will sing praise. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Can I remind everybody, when you trust in the Lord for every single day, the joy is your strength. You can get through it. I like what Sister Donna said. She said, it's not me it's going to make it, but it's the one that's above me, below me, around me, and in me. That's how I make it. What's that song we all walk here? I know how I made it. I made it by grace. Amen. The Bible says, and throughout the rest, I'm not going to go through all the verses. The Bible says in verse number 17, the psalmist said, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 18 says, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. What the psalmist is saying is, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I have put my confidence in man. But when I trust in the Lord, he chastens me. I trust him, but he doesn't kill me. There's been times, Brother Ray, I thought he was going to kill me. There's been times he had every right to kill me, but I'm glad he don't. Why? Because he loves us. You say, preacher, you said all these scriptures are a proclamation, and these proclamations are also publications, and they're also emancipation. A publication is a proclamation is a publication by authority, by official notice given to the public, given to all. I was saying publication. It's supposed to be exhortation. See what happens when you try to go by your own notes? Exhortation is form words that are intended to incite or encourage people. The Lord wants me to entice you and incite you and encourage you that God is still on your side. If you're one of His, it's not over. I also want to make this is also an emancipation. Some folks might say, preacher, that's too big of a word. I don't think you know what it means. Y'all remember the Emancipation Proclamation? Y'all remember that back in the 1800s, I say? Well, what it is exactly what it means. What we know it is, it's the act of setting free from slavery is what we originally know it for. But it's also not only from slavery, it's from servitude. It's also from being under subjection. It's a dependence, being freed from a dependence. But I like this one, deliverance from bondage or a controlling influence. A controlling influence. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Remember the Alamo. All that was just introduction. Remember the Alamo. Put your trust in God. Don't put your confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. It's better to put your trust in the Lord and then your confidence in princes. Most of you probably know the Alamo, heard of the Alamo. The Alamo originally was a mission. It was a mission to attempt to spread the gospel. I won't go into the technical things because I got some things in my heart what I feel about that mission, what was going on at that mission, but it was no longer a mission. It became an outpost. We all know the outpost. It was the time. We all have heard of the people at the Alamo. But the Alamo, what it was that Texas was trying to separate themselves and be a republic and separate themselves from the controlling influence of Mexico. Mexico once had a Declaration of Independence, so to speak, had a constitution somewhat. I'm just using fair words. But the guy who was over at Anna, what he wanted to do was put it back in control of military dictatorship, if you'll have it. So what he was trying to do is bring people back under the control of the Mexican government. They was not allowed to do things on their own. He was trying to put them under subjection. He was trying to rule over them. But there was a band of them, Texans. I thought Texans was just a slang word for Texans. But that's what they called them back then. They called them Texans. They called them Mexico Texans or something like that. That's just too much word. Tex-Mex sounds pretty good, but mind you, food. But anyway, somehow it always comes back to food. Y'all pray for me, and I don't want to get sidetracked. Run off. Y'all still awake? Say amen. Amen. If y'all fall asleep on me, I'll holler at you. But the Alamo, Brother James, there was a last band of people that stood and fought against the Mexican military. I don't know the exact numbers. They go back and forth, but roughly I've heard the number go somewhere just below 200 or above 100. I heard around 180 maybe. And I heard there was roughly around 1,500 to 2,000 Mexican army. And they had surrounded the Alamo. Now, there's a lot of things about this that I saw. There was Colonel William, Travers. William Travers was his name. And James Bowie. And then Sam Houston had all those names, famous names that we know. But Travers was the colonel over the whole thing. He sent out message after message. He wasn't by himself. He wasn't cut off. He sent message after message to have somebody send reinforcements under the Alamo. Most of us know somewhat of the story, as the story goes, and some people have even watched, made movies, they wrote books and everything about it. But there's something that I didn't see in the movie or see in a book or something I did not know about. But when it come time for them to get around it, they didn't start all at once. It was a slow build up into the takeover or the fight that was going to ensue. And there was something that was going on that not people too many knew about. And for years, no one knew the actual story. They didn't report into this, or they didn't get into folklore. It didn't become myths until years on down the road. But the Mexican army raised up a red flag. And it said no quarter. What it meant, red flag meant no quarter. Does anybody here know what no quarter means? No quarter means no prisoners. Everybody was going to get killed. Everybody was going to die that day. Mexico, the Mexican army was not going to take in prisoners. And what had happened was they sent out message after message. They sent messenger after messenger to go find out whether or not if they're going to have any help. But when they raised up that flag, the history says that Colonel Travers loaded up a cannon and towards that red flag to let them know we ain't surrendering. Can I say something? Remember the Alamo. Oftentimes the devil comes against us, and can I say this? The devil ain't going to take prisoners. He wants to kill us. The Bible says he's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He ain't taking no prisoners. There's no bargaining chip. There's no trade-off. If he can get you, he wants to kill you. But I'm glad we got a colonel. I'm glad we got a captain. I'm glad we got a general. When the enemy raises up a flag and says no prisoners, he fires back and says there's no surrender. Y'all hearing the preacher? I don't like what's going on nowadays. I'm seeing too many churches now who don't want to get in the fight when things get going kind of rough. They want to pack up their bag and go home. Friend, there's no retreat in this battle. There's no surrender in this battle. They ain't taking no prisoners. We're not trying to take prisoners either. We're trying to help people and heal people and give them life. We're trying to get them delivered from the bondage and delivered from being under subjection by a controlling influence. If you have it, we need to have that emancipation proclamation through and by the gospel. And can I say this? I thought about this. Y'all can think I'm crazy. I wonder if William Travers, if he had sought the Lord first instead of seeking help from somewhere else, maybe they would have won the Alamo. I don't know. But they said that they raised the flag no quarter. He launched a cannon shot at them and said, we ain't surrendering anyhow. And they sent messages. I want you to hear this. It came to a colonel named Fannin. I do believe that's how you pronounce his name. And he dispatched 300 men with four more cannons to get to the Alamo. Now, if any of the ballpark figures that I've seen and looked upon, for as much as I could tell, the Americans that was in, the Texans and the Americans that was in the Alamo, by number, took out a whole lot more than what the Mexicans took out. I mean, they held their own pretty good. Spoiler alert, they lost. They lost. But how they lost was what's all inspiring. To say, I'm not going to put my confidence in, man, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Those 300 men and those cannons and those provisions were 90 miles away. Do you know what they did after 1 mile? They quit. Their fellow soldiers, their fellow men, the colonel of the same side, the one who's supposed to be on your side, the one who's supposed to be on the same side, there to take you up and help you in your time of need, they turned their back and went back home. The colonel trying to blame it on the soldiers, saying they didn't want to fight, but the soldier said, no, we got word. He said, come back home. We don't want to get a part of this fight. 20 of them broke ranks and decided to go on anyway. They was going to fight best as they could and try to help them out, but it was of no avail. Like I said, spoiler alert, they all died. But Colonel Travers did something, Brother Miller, that a lot of folks don't realize. And they drew a line in the sand. Actually, originally it was they drew a line in the dirt. And it got famous, the line in the sand, because George W. Bush said about the first Gulf War. But can I say this? William Travers drew a line in the dirt and said, whoever wants to fight with me to defend this outpost, cross over this line. He says, but if you don't want to cross over that line, then you don't have to. But whoever wants to fight with me, stay on this side. I'm reminded, Brother James, what Moses said in Exodus chapter number 32. And he hollers out, who's on the Lord's side? Out of all the children of Israel, may I remind everybody, the children of Israel was not being goody two shoes. They wasn't minding the words of Moses or minding the words of the Lord. The Bible says they rose up and played. Joshua thought it was a sound of war, but they was a party and they had made themselves a golden image. They was worshiping other gods. They left the Lord when things started getting good. And Moses had to holler out, who's on the Lord's side? You know, the one thing that a preacher should never have to preach and a man of God or a woman of God should never have to say is who's on the Lord's side. It should be pretty clear who's on the Lord's side. Y'all with the preacher? I mean, that's one message I think we should never have to preach. Who's on the Lord's side? But it still has to get preached from time after time. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? And the Bible says the Levites came across. Jehu was ordained and set aside by the Lord to act vengeance upon Jezebel for what she'd done unto Naboth. Naboth was one who would not surrender, who would not submit. They wanted his vineyard. They wanted the things that it was given to him, passed down by generations. He said, I'm not going to give up my father's heritage. What'd Jezebel do? Jezebel lied on him, told a story on him, and got him killed. That's exactly right. She lied. But the Lord took note of what she did, and the Bible said she, as the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the Bible says that God said the dogs will lick up Jezebel's blood too. Now, time went on. Oftentimes people say, well, the Lord ain't done nothing to me yet, so therefore I must have gotten away with it. Just because execution of the punishment has not happened speedily or quickly does not mean it's not going to come. It's still going to come. But God knows when to act vengeance, and God knows when to do it. Can I say this? Vengeance doesn't belong unto man. It belongs unto the Lord, I want to stop right there and say this. If you've got that vengeful spirit in your heart, you got the wrong spirit in your heart, you need to ask God to forgive you and ask God to pry it out of your life. It's not you who gets vengeful. It's not you who tries to set somebody straight. You need to ask God to set you straight and let him ask, and ask him to set somebody else straight, and God will do the straightening out. Y'all with the preacher? And Jehu's there, and the Bible said Jezebel painted up her face. Y'all want to know why them old-timers always get on women painting up their faces with all kinds of makeup? That's where they get it from, because Jezebel painted up her face to disguise herself like she was some person in distress. She was old and feeble and couldn't hurt nobody. God help us. I've seen them young. I've seen them old, Brother Josh. They can do a lot of damage no matter how much they paint up. And I'm not talking about women neither. I'm talking about men and women. They can paint them up a facade, can't they, Brother James? They can fake it just as good as anybody else and cause more damage. More damage being used by the devil. But Jehu found her, and she was in a tower, and he looked up and said, "Who's on my side?" And the Bible said some eunuchs stuck their head out, and they looked down at him, and I'm just looking and saying, well, they probably didn't like Jezebel neither. You said, "Preacher, how do you know?" He said, "Throw her down," and they threw her down. They didn't vote, didn't have a business meeting, didn't have a men's meeting. They just said, "Hey, this one's got to go." They threw her out. But the psalmist is saying, the Lord is on our side. The Lord is on our side. At the Alamo, Colonel Travers is saying, who's going to cross the line? Who's going to be on our side? All of them crossed over according to folklore, except for one. And his name was Moses. God help. Moses didn't cross over. Moses Rose was his name, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. They say that he lived a sorried life for the rest of his life. And you say, "Preacher, at least he lived." I'd rather be a dead lion than I'd rather die fighting for the Lord. I almost had it backwards. I'd rather die doing the work for the Lord than live and be a coward and not do what he wants me to do. Y'all hearing the preacher? They all died. They fought valiantly. Supposedly, Davy Crockett was sick, and they said that the story is that when they come, they thought that he surrendered, but a slave from Santa Ana said there was no body of Davy Crockett amongst the people that they took, those that tried or surrendered. I think there was like nine of them tried to surrender, and they surrendered, and they executed them, killed them. But supposedly in folklore, they found 16 bodies around Davy Crockett's dead body. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I want to say this. I want to go out like they did. I want to go out serving the Lord. I want to go out fighting. I want to go out on the same side as my brothers and sisters. When they've lined up and said there's a battle. I told Brother James, there's a preacher that they're making fun of on the internet, but he said a phrase. He said they waged holy war for some of their lost people to be saved. You know that's what we should be doing? Is waging holy war. Why? Because it's either going to live or they're going to die. And it's by us trying to do what God wants us to do, being on his side because he's on our side for us to do the things that God wants us to do. You said, "Preacher, why are you saying this thing for?" Because oftentimes I wonder what would have happened if Travers and them had surrendered. What would have happened? Everything would have took place. They still would have got killed and nothing would have happened. Santa Ana still would have got the Alamo. Everything would have went as way as it went. Didn't matter if they surrendered or not, preacher. So what's the big story about remember the Alamo? Well, it wasn't the end. The Alamo wasn't the end. Because they fought again. I do believe it was called Lynchburg, Finneytown, or Fanny, or something like that. Lynchburg, Finney, or something like that. Can't remember the name of this of the town. They came upon Santa Anna's army, and they surprised them. What had happened was, Brother Ray, that word got out what happened at the Alamo, how they stood valiantly, how they heard about all the stories that got pressed out and all the requests for help came back and no one answered. They heard about the military, the general or the colonel who would not go help their fellow soldiers and help their fellow Texans. It enraged them. It made them mad. And just a handful of them in the hundreds took on 2,000 of Santa Anna's men as they camped at this Lynchburg, something, this little place on the side of the road. They was all camping out, and in the morning they went there. And they said that when they went there, they began to kill all of Santa Anna's men. And they said you could hear the other men saying that when they was fleeing and chasing them down, they was hollering, "Remember the Alamo! Remember the Alamo! Remember the Alamo!" And they kept killing them left and right because they remembered what happened to their people. They could not be there at that moment. They was not on that same side of them, but they said they was never going to let it happen again. They was going to stand firm, stand true, and stand strong and bring home the victory. They said when Sam Houston captured Anna, he begged for forgiveness. He said, "Don't do nothing." He said, "You ought to remember the Alamo. You ought to remember the Alamo." He said, "Preacher, what's this got to do with the message today?" How many of us is not willing to step and come in with those that's on the side, ready to go into battle and fight? I wonder how many of you has put your confidence in man and you've got afraid for him like Moses and said, "I'm not going to cross the line and fight with him." I wonder how many of you allowed somebody else to push you out of your spot and push you out of your position because the confidence in man, you gave them more power than what they deserve. Amen. You put your trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Y'all hearing the preacher?
Yep.
If I stopped, Brother Ray, every time they told me I couldn't preach, if I stopped every time they told me I went in the wrong places to preach, I wouldn't be here today. But my reminder, you don't answer to man, answer to him.
Amen.
You answer to him. The battle line's been drawn. I'm not asking you who's going to cross over and fight with me. I just know the Lord's asking who's going to fight this holy war and wage war on this devil and on his Satan's army, trying to kill all these young people and trying to kill South Lebanon. I mean, he's almost got her done. He's almost got her took out. We had a handful, not just more than a handful, but a handful upon handful of kids to remind us there's still a cause. There's still a reason to fight. There's still a reason to wage a holy war. But we put too much confidence in man. My Bible tells me this, that when Joshua in chapter number 10 was about to go to war, about to go into battle, he sought the Lord. And what Joshua get told by the Lord, he said, "Joshua, don't worry." He said, "Ain't no man going to be able to stand against you." That's what he said. And Joshua won. I wonder how many times we've quit. I wonder how many times we've stopped. How many times we've backed up. Why? Because we put our confidence in man and not our trust in the Lord. You said, "Preacher, what's this? Is this a call to arms?" Should have already been a call to arms. The line has been drawn, if you'll have it, on holy ground. The devil wants your life, he wants your family, and he wants your kids. He ain't taking prisoners, he wants to kill you. Right? So what does a good Baptist church do? They fight amongst themselves. We go stabbing each other and shooting one another. Right?
Come on.
You said, "Preach, I don't have to preach that way." I'm not. This is the Lord. We're not supposed to stab each other in the back. We're not supposed to hinder one another. We're supposed to help one another. Stand side by side. You know, and I don't know. I've heard this being said. I don't know. I've never talked to nobody about this. But I've often heard this thing called friendly fire. And I heard sometimes it was on purpose. Brother Ray, the one place we shouldn't have friendly fire is in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
With God, with God's people, shouldn't have no friendly fire. Preacher, have you been guilty of it? Unfortunately, I have. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It leaves something in your crawl you'll never get rid of. You ain't supposed to wage war against one another. You don't get on that phone. Go text messaging, Facebook, and now since we're no longer in the Alamo, we got to get back to 2018. Let's not run each other down. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to help one another. And can I say this? If you're not willing to get on this side and fight, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be your pastor. Go find you another battle. Go find you another line. Why? Because you're causing way too much problem being a weight. But can I say this? Ain't no man or no woman going to push me from doing what God wants me to do. You said, "Preacher, why are you preaching this way?" I don't know. I do not know. Why are you saying that for? Because too many people have quit. I wonder if Moses Rose would have said, "Man, if I could have one more shot, Brother Millard, one more shot to walk across that line and stand with him." You said, "Preacher, what's the big deal? They died anyway." They may have died, but they died in service for their country or for the Texans. I don't want to rust out. I want to die on the battlefield, Sister Donna, fighting for my Lord. The Bible says to trust and to put your trust in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord and put your confidence in princes. Can I say this? Donald Trump ain't going to give us the victory. That Congress ain't going to get us the victory. You know who'll get us the victory? The Lord will. The Lord will. Why? Because he said he would. I'm reminded this, and I'll close. I don't want to make no psychological speech and say, oh, you're going to cross over the line and come to the altar. And I don't want to do that. I do believe it's a Proverbs. I think it's 20, verse 26, 25. Let me make sure. I did write that down. I want to make sure I got that accurate. Proverbs 29, 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I wonder today if you needed this message to remind you who you are. We preached last Sunday, if the service of the Lord is worth anything, it's worth everything. It's worth everything. I wonder today if you're in the service of the Lord, doing as the Lord have you to do, or have you put too much confidence in man? I wonder, are you trusting in the Lord? I say, Lord, no matter what, sink or swim, live or die, victory is on the horizon. I will not quit. I thought about all those men. I wanted to preach on. I got all kinds of thoughts, but then I got the mighty men of David. That one that clave to the sword. His hand was weak, but he clave to the sword and still wrought the victory. Thought of Shema defending the lintel patch. When everybody quit and went home, he stayed there and he fought in that lintel patch. The enemy had come to take away the harvest, but he was going to fight to keep the harvest. Why? Because he was a mighty man of David. Do you want to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of the Lord? A mighty young man or a mighty young lady of the Lord? In the service of the Lord? You say, preacher, how much can a young person do? I love watching those girls get up and sing. It's good to watch them sing. Hopefully it'll stick in their memory when they get pressed on in an older age and they see that it's going to get rougher in this world. They'll still keep pressing on. Why? Because they trusted in the Lord. I'd like to go farther, but I can't go. Paul and musicians would come. Every head bowed, every eye closed.